You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
Yes, welcome. My name is Rob. This is episode 928. We're really, really, really glad that you're with us. I'm trying to think about when this is airing. It's probably 2019, so hope you had a great New Year's
Happy
Eve.
Happy New Year!
Safe, fun, and you're ready to kick some butt this year. Is that true?
Is what true? Is the new Gatwick drone sighting probed by cops turned out to be lights on a crane?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it in our news episode that came out a week ago.
A week ago.
Well, I mean, I recorded it this morning, but if we're talking in, you know, podcast time.
Oh, I got you. Right. Keep up, Rob. Anyways.
All right. Today's question is actually a really good one because it's all about when you're flying in a LANC area, low altitude authorization notification capability area, which means instantaneous airspace authorizations. I know that's a whole lot of words for the instant authority to fly. Well, what would you expect from a government agency like the FAA? And you know the answer to that, so I don't need to answer it.
Well, and call whatever you want and take as long as you need if it gives us that kind of access, right?
Yeah, that is right. And it's still not a perfect system to date, which a lot of people are familiar with. And we even had a podcast, I think a little while ago, where we were talking about, I'm not sure if I did this story or not. We were trying to fly in an area that has a UASFM map, right? Has the facility map, which is necessary for LANC capability. The airport operator is very geriatric and insists that everyone go through the FAA drone zone portal, not the LANC portal. It's not even a LANC airport anymore, which makes no sense to me until I found out when I called the airport directly and spoke with the air traffic controller, and I said, well, you're controlling who's flying in and out of the airport, right? And he's like, yes. And I was like, oh, well, then under 107, 14 CFR 107.41, you do have the ultimate authority to grant airspace approval or not. And the fact that you did not do LANC, how do you expect people to actually like fly according to your rules and ways if you deny people the LANC system? Got a lot of silence on the phone. FAA, I really think we need to get rid of these old guys who are denying the LANC system. It's only causing more problems. But that being said, today's question addresses how can you get around some of the altitude limitations inside of the LANC areas? And I am so excited to answer this question because it's a very good question. And it also helps people kind of swim through the gray area and get to the white or black. So I'm excited.
Nice. All right. Here's Houston.
Hey, guys. Houston Brown again. Second question. I guess you could put either or both on. But this one refers to flying in a UAS facilities maps area. So let's say the map says I can fly 100 feet. Now, I'm in an area where the terrain varies maybe not very much, but let's say 60 feet. Well, in a 100 feet area, 60 feet is quite a bit. So if I climb up to the top of this berm, which is 60 feet above, you know, it's ground. I'm standing there. I'm standing on it. If I take off from there, can I go 100 feet from there? Or what if I take off down, for lack of a better term, the valley area, which is 60 feet below me, and I take off from there? It's an advantage to me to take off from the highest altitude so I can go 100 feet from there. So how does one determine how high one can go? I know it says AGL, but there are all kinds of stuff around me that's way higher than that. The giant power poles are 200 feet in the air from me. These are big power poles. So where do I start from? I hope that was somewhat clear. Thanks.
Thank you, Houston. Good question. And yes, it was clear, although the power poles don't really have a function in this.
Well,
right?
They do, though, because a huge argument that a lot of anti-FAA people have been saying for a very, 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 very long time is, what is actually navigable airspace? Because the FAA only controls airspace that's quote-unquote navigable, meaning If you can fly a drone between two tall buildings in downtown LA, can a helicopter do the same thing? And if the answer is no, is it really navigable airspace? Because, for example, in this area, if there are power poles at 200 feet and the FAA is limiting drone operations to 100 feet, the question is well, how is it navigable airspace for another helicopter to enter or plane to enter the area and not be at a severe, significant emergency? And really, like we were talking about this earlier this morning in the walk, right? Is the helicopter or plane really at more danger if they're at 200 feet and there's a power line at 200 feet than if there's a drone flying at 100 feet? Typically, the aircraft is going to have significantly higher problems with or without the drone if they're flying that low and their power pole is that high.
So is that to suggest that if you're just theoretically within some certain range of that power pole, it should be free to fly because there's no risk of... That's the theory, right?
That's arguable.
Not going to happen, probably.
Well, the next question is like, you know, what's the FAA's ability to enforce this?
Well,
and then do you? And then do you really want to take it to that? Are you going to really challenge them? For me, I'm not going to challenge them because I already know what's going to happen. So, yeah. Now, that being said, his question is, if I'm limited to 100 feet and there is a 60-foot elevation variance inside of that 100-foot area, is he limited to 100 feet AGL? The UASFMs are written in AGL. So that means if you take off, you're at 60 feet in elevation, and you take off, you're allowed to go to 160 feet in elevation. That's MSL, right? If I'm at 100 feet in elevation in the same area, that means I can fly to 200 feet MSL. Right. So the answer to his question is, yes, you will have more space to fly. And this goes to all pilots. Right. You should actually be looking at a topo of the area that you're going to fly and look for the highest point that you can find. Right. Because then you're going to have a lot more access to fly
once you have the authorization for that particular area.
Correct.
Because ultimately, so, for example, you said that it could be to your advantage, Houston, to be higher, but it may not. It depends on what your goal is, what you're trying to achieve, right? But it could be to your advantage, depending on what you're trying to accomplish.
If it's for mapping, it probably would be to your advantage. I mean, this is a really good example, though, because all of the UASFM maps are measured in AGL. So if you are looking at a particular square and you pull up the topo of that square and you find the highest point of that square, it's definitely going to help you, especially if you're doing mapping.
Yeah.
And you have high obstacles. I mean, there are so many points of contention in these rules that haven't really been worked out yet, if that makes sense.
So the bottom line, though, is within the square or whatever that you have authorization for, yes, you start at the highest point if you choose to.
Yeah.
In terms of staying compliant.
Yep. And that is compliant. By law, he is 100 feet AGL.
Right.
It does not say what the ground altitude is, right?
Yeah, I know.
So technically...
It's where he is.
This is why it's so important to really know the ins and the outs of the law here, people.
All right.
This is why you got to read the 600 pages of Part 107.
So this might be a dumb question, but what the heck? It's a short podcast so far.
Let's hear it.
What if you're at 100 and your drone's sitting at 150? Is it based on where you're at or where the drone's at?
It's based on where you're at.
Okay.
It's okay. It was... We'll let it go.
There are no dumb questions.
I'm sorry. I had to. The opportunity was just too good. Anyway.
Hey, I guarantee at least one person out there is wondering the same thing. If so, please write and tell me that you are that person.
Totally.
This is a lesson in being vulnerable in 2019.
Humble is good. And maybe the FAA can take that track as well. Because there are still a lot of things that need to be figured out with LANC. We need to get all the airports on there. There's a lot that really needs to go into it. So, but anyway, that's going to do it for today's episode. We're going to be coming up with some shows here soon, talking about how to prep yourself in the new year. If you have questions on how you can work on your business and not work in your business, please go to askdroneu.com and upload your question. We love all questions. We also love releasing new content, and we have about, 35 hours of new content coming on the site here in a week or two. So check it out. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.